Welcome to the Serenity Now podcast with Amanda Little. You're listening to episode number one. Today, I'm speaking with Roberta Shepherd, holistic health practitioner and flower essences aficionado. Just a heads up, these are adults having adult conversations. There may be some adult language. Hi, Roberta.
Hi.
How are you doing today? It's so great that you're here with me on the Serenity Now podcast.
It's great to be here.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. I'm super excited. Why don't you tell me about what are flower essences? Well, I mean, I know what they are because we've had sessions before. But
yeah.
So for the listeners, so someone is listening and they have no idea what this is all about. Mm-hmm. What do you have to say? How would you describe it?
Okay, so flower essences are vibrational medicines that are ingestible by mouth. They do not carry any aroma at all. They are the spirit medicine of flowers. So every single plant has a flower, even trees. Every single plant in existence has a flower, even if it doesn't look like your typical standard flower.
Okay.
And flower essences are prepared now, let me just add something in before saying that, which is that a flower is considered to be a spiritual expression of plant.
Okay.
So there's that added layer there.
That's cool.
So they gather the flowering tops of plants only, put them into spring water in a crystal bowl in direct sunlight. And that is now called a sun infusion method. So the sun infuses the water with the blueprint or the vibrational or spiritual imprint of the flower.
Okay.
They drain off only the water, not the plant parts, just the water that is imprinted with the flower. And then that is now called a mother essence. And then they decant from the mother essence to create stock bottles with some preservative. And then I decant from the stock bottles to make dosage bottles. So,
okay.
Vibrational medicines, spirit medicines of plant.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so the flower essences, the spirit medicine from the plants, resonate in the water and the cells of our bodies and help to shift deficient patterns that get in the way, really, essentially, simply put. So we can change the vibrational frequency that's in our cells that is stopping us up from any given thing. And flower essences are one way that we can do that.
Okay. How did you get into this? Because this isn't, this isn't the type of thing that you learn about as a kid that, work with flower essences.
Yeah, no, you don't learn about it as good. Or I didn't anyways.
No.
Maybe some kids do. I don't know.
I don't know. I would be surprised. But
yeah.
So how did that happen for you? Like, tell us a little bit about your journey, your story, your path to it.
Okay, cool. So in the year 2000, I studied herbal medicine under my teacher, Robert Rogers, who's local here in Edmonton, renowned author, herbalist, mycologist. He was my flower essences teacher as well down the road. But anyway, so I studied herbal medicine under him. I was fascinated, fell in love with plant medicine in general. And they probably introed me to flower essences at that rate. I'm sure he did because he probably mentioned them in his classes. And then how many years later? Probably 6 years later, I enrolled in the holistic health practitioner program at Grant McEwen. And I elected to take, as my core modalities, I elected to take holistic nutrition, herbal medicine, again, and flower essences. So the modalities I chose, none of them were body work. None of them were like energy healings, hands-on energy healings such as Reiki or anything like that.
Right.
All of my modalities were related to plant medicines.
Okay.
All of them. Like plant medicines through food, right? Nutrition.
Yeah. So
herbal medicine.
Before you go on.
Yep.
Like what, why do you think that was? Was there something, I don't know, like as a kid, were you really into flowers and plants or?
No.
No.
A kid, I thought I wanted to be a doctor.
Oh, interesting.
As a kid, I used to mix up pretend blood samples in small yogurt containers and stash them under the bathroom sink and pretend I was like in a lab testing people's blood.
Okay.
And I used to stash the nurse's encyclopedia under my bed and read it at night.
That's kind of intense.
As a kid, I was obsessed with physiology and I thought, so the workings of the human body, and I don't know, there's like this marriage that happened between plants and how they function and heal inside the human body that just, I was just so taken by.
Okay.
So I enrolled for these three plant medicines modalities, right? And I'm thinking my primary focus is herbal medicine, and which I still love to this day. And I had no idea what flower essences were at that rate. Maybe I'd heard of them through my teacher, but then I studied under him again and his partner, Lori Salt Rogers. They own Self Heal Distributing here in Edmonton.
Okay.
And I had no idea. I didn't know what I was getting into. And I'm telling you, within week one, like the first few classes, that was it. It was like, this is a story of love at first sight. This is a romance between me and flower essences.
Okay.
So it was like totally love at first sight. You know, I was introed to it through class, like Grant McEwen, through Robert and Lori. And I was like, what? You know, like, I was just like, are you kidding me? This is a thing. And then one of our first assignments was to, they showed us slides, only pictures.
Okay.
Of all the flowers that they were going to be teaching to us.
Yeah.
In the these two combined repertoires. And we were to choose one. And we're talking like more than 150 plants here. So 150 pictorial slides.
Yeah.
We were to choose one through an intuitive process without knowing anything about what any of them are for.
Okay. Oh, this is sounding really cool. Okay.
And take it as our first assignment, like as our first project, and then write about it. And so when I started taking my first flower essence.
Yeah.
The love just got deeper because I felt the impact. I was like, what? Mm. Like these are incredible.
And what was it?
These little unassuming, magical spirit medicine bottles that take you on a journey of self-awareness and exploration that is like none other that I've ever known.
Okay. So what did you pick?
Bleeding Heart.
Bleeding Heart. Okay.
Bleeding Heart. Yeah.
And so once you learned about it, did it make sense why you chose it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
Bleeding Heart. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. And I chose it, like, I was really attracted to it as a child. As a little girl, I was really attracted to Bleeding Hearts. Our neighbor on the one side had Bleeding Hearts in their yard. And we would pick the flowers off, and we called them ladies in a bathtub, because if you hold them upright, they look like a woman sitting straight up in like an old fashioned clawfoot bathtub.
Oh.
And we would peel the sides away and giggle because we were exposing the woman.
I'm going to have to look at them again.
Naked body. Yeah. Look at them.
Yeah. Look at them in a whole new light.
Yeah. I was so attracted to them, and that's why I picked them, because they remind me of my childhood. And lo and behold, they're for like emotional codependency and brokenheartedness brokenheartedness that comes from over-identifying with a person or a relationship, so much so that this experience of heartbreak happens because there's a misunderstanding around love being synonymous to freedom.
Mm.
And it's spot on. Spot on for me.
Okay, hang on. You said there's a misunderstanding about love being synonymous to freedom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Tell me what you mean by that.
Yeah. What I mean by that is, we see it classically in so many Hollywood films, don't we? It's like that love. I think as human beings, we misunderstand and we believe that love is somehow, and this isn't conscious. It's not conscious that love and possession go together, like that, you know, I love you, we're in a relationship, you're mine, you're my boyfriend, you're my husband, you're my partner. And it's not like there's an innocence to that if you describe someone as my partner, but there's a deeper layer, I think, that exists there in the human family, where there's a lack of being in deep, loving, romantic relationship with oneself. And so filling a void with the other person in relationship to the point where if that person departs, you know, sadness and grief is legit, but it's this brokenhearted experience that we have. There's everyone can identify to some degree with brokenheartedness, right?
Yes.
Well, but all the songs and movies that are like, there's a whole, you know, market for brokenheartedness.
Right.
All the crooners in the world, right? Like, anyway, so it's that, it's this misunderstanding that, you know, love and possession, that love is possessive, and it's not. Love is freedom. Love is freedom. Love is
okay
to set the other person free at all times. It's not about possessiveness. It's about
right
self-love to a depth that sets the other free. So if the person comes or goes, there can be a trust in the unfoldment of the universe, right? Without being in a panic mode and experiencing what we term brokenheartedness because of a sense of loss of self when the other person goes.
Right. Okay. I'm following you now.
Right. But yes. In actuality, love is synonymous with freedom. It does not assume a holding pattern.
Okay. Yeah. So our society essentially teaches us that love is not freedom. Love involves that codependence.
Correct. Yeah. Codependency.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So both assuming responsibility for other people's feelings and also, you know, falsely believing, again, unconsciously, that someone else's moves or lack of moves is going to dictate our feelings and our sense of contentment or lack thereof.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
That's cool.
So did we get the whole length of your story? Is there more?
The whole length of my story. Right. So I picked Bleeding Heart. Right. I fell in love with flower essences. This is a love at first sight story. Yes. That's what I was saying.
Right. Love story.
It's a love story.
I love it.
Oh yeah. It's a love story. I never made that connection till just now. The Bleeding Heart.
And, it's great.
It's a love story. And then it just really progressed from there.
Okay.
You know? So very much love at first sight. It crept up on me.
Yeah.
It came when I least expected it, flower essences.
And but isn't
fell
that,
deeply in love with it.
Isn't that kind of how love works? When you're searching for
saying it,
you don't find it?
I'm having a bit of an aha on the inside myself here.
That's awesome.
Pretty cool love story, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you share flower essences with the rest of the world. People like me.
Yeah. I love that. I love it.
Yeah. It's really, really interesting. And I enjoy it too. I have a bottle from you right now. And I have to tell you, okay, so I think I counted the other day and there were eight or nine bottles that I have.
Okay.
So this latest one, your son helped you with, right?
Yeah, he made it.
Yes.
I hired him.
I swear it feels different.
Ooh, tell me more.
There's a feeling of like an innocence with it.
No, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's like an innocence and I want to use the word warmth, but I don't know if that's, I guess that would be accurate. Not that when you do them, there isn't a warmth to it, but it's different. There's a different essence to it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so good.
It's very cool.
It's really nice. Good.
So how would you, I know you've kind of gotten into this a little bit, but like how have flower essences or finding it, using it, I'm assuming you use it on yourself.
I do.
Yes. So how has that impacted or changed your life or helped you in your life?
Oh my God. Let me count the ways. in so many ways, it would be difficult to count, really.
Well, how about just a highlight? Like, I don't know, think
highlight.
Of, yeah, tell me about any particular time, instance, or, area of your life where you've really noticed a change or an impact.
Yeah. In my parenting, okay. I would say, you know, there's a certain relativity that comes with relationships, isn't there? Like we, you know, it's like we can notice ourselves more. Not, I don't know if more is the right word, but for me, I can notice myself differently relative to another person.
Sure.
So there are certain wounds or behaviors in me that wouldn't necessarily come up if I weren't a mom, or they wouldn't come up in such a pronounced way.
Okay.
But in that, I share close contexts with my son, who I think unconsciously parents often think their children are a reflection to them, to the point where they, for myself, I've gotten so afraid that my, you know, that I would fuck him up.
Yeah.
That causes a lot of difficulty,
right.
A lot of pain, a lot of projection, a lot of lashing out, a lot of, you know, just a lot of shit.
Projection and lashing out towards him, towards yourself.
Yeah, both.
Both. Okay.
Both. So I have to, yeah, I would say in my parenting, because it's the most profound area of my life that has probably caused the pain, mm-hmm. and that is the most difficult to relieve patterns inside of.
Okay.
Because we're also talking about intergenerational stuff.
Sure.
You know, that comes up. Stuff like, oh, I'm never going to do that when I'm a mom. And then you're a mom and you're doing it and looking back after it's already done and going, I just did that.
Right.
Which thing that I said I would never do.
Right.
Or, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Holly comes to mind. Pine comes to mind, two essences in particular.
How come?
Because Holly is for unconditional love.
And okay.
So unconditional love releases expectation. And what that can look like is, you know, if we love someone, okay, I love my son dearly. Mm-hmm. And in my fear in the past of him being judged and maybe barreling down some similar painful life trajectories as I have wanted him to show up a specific way that maybe has been different than how he's shown up.
Okay.
Because the fear overtook the unconditional love and acceptance.
Right.
And that's been really painful. And Holly was the number one essence that touched that for me. Just really touched that, where, you know, I started to notice when I was taking it and it had its most profound impact inside my parenting, is that Caleb would walk into a room. That's my son, Caleb.
Yep.
Would walk into a room. And instead of me being like on alert for ways that he'd be behaving that he might get judged for in the world, and so then I would judge him and it would be this like back and forth kind of butting head scenario.
Right. Yeah.
He would walk into a room and I could go, it was like an exhale. I could go, oh, there's Caleb. And however he was showing up that day, in a bad mood or antagonizing me or lovely or however he was showing up.
Right.
I could just love him as is.
Isn't it interesting though? Because, okay, I don't have children, but I think I'm correct in this, is that when, if you're doing things to, like you said, to, you know, change his behavior where he might get judged, you're doing it essentially from a place of love, because you're wanting to protect him, right?
Yeah.
So it seems,
come across that way,
right? Well, and I mean, I know tons of people with kids, right? And I through coaching swimming work with lots of kids and their parents.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You see that all the time. And I know my parents did it with me, right? It's this trying to protect your child from whatever.
Yep.
From a place of love, which that part of love comes off so easily, mm-hmm. even though there might be pain involved with it, but the actual, like, loving the path that they're on, mm-hmm. is so difficult.
So difficult. So much more difficult.
Yeah. It's interesting, that subtle shift.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And I just really remember this cycle I had with Holly and the expansion I felt. Holly is considered to be a heart remedy. So
okay.
is Bleeding Heart, actually. So
yeah.
Heart remedies, meaning that they have their most pronounced impact within the heart center.
Okay.
So you would notice it most in the heart center, which doesn't mean it doesn't impact all the, you know, areas, and flowers that aren't considered heart remedies wouldn't impact also the heart, whatever. Anyway. And I just remember feeling this mass expansion in my heart center. And I had so much more room for Caleb, however he came.
Nice.
It was really poignant, that specific cycle. And don't get me wrong, it wasn't my first time taking Ollie either. And it wasn't my last. It probably won't be my last, right? But
yeah,
it's like I almost consider healing to be like a spiral.
Right.
And so the way that a spiral moves, if you visualize it, it passes the same place repetitively, mm-hmm. but in a different position.
Right.
That's kind of how I consider healing to be. So it's like, I'm always going to go down that road again, but it's going to be different. It'll never be the same. There's a depth that happens over time with this spiraling nature of healing.
Right.
You get to move in cycles. We all do. It's just, yeah.
You revisit.
We revisit,
but
and
it's
it looks different.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with essences. Once you have, in my experience, once there's that poignant expansion,
yeah,
be it self-awareness or there's more room, when I go back to that point again, when I go down that road again, it'll never be the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's never the same.
Right.
Because you have the information now. It's like you can't unsee something. It's the same. It's that double-edged sword of self-awareness. Once you have an awareness, sometimes you're like, oh, I wish I could give that back. Because now you have to be held to account in a different way with that information, right?
Yes, yes.
And I mean, that's it's true. The same with flower essences. It's like you can't unhave an awareness, so it'll never be the same now.
Okay, that's cool though. So it's almost like if you redo the same flower essence, your layering effect maybe?
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's depth that happens for sure. Yeah.
Okay, so that was Holly.
Holly.
What was the other one you said?
Good one. Okay. And Holly is one of Dr. Edward Bach's original 38 remedies. So this is one of the original remedies that was ever created.
Okay.
Ever in the world. Okay, as far as we know.
Yep.
And pine is for also one of Dr. Bach's original 38 remedies.
Okay.
Pine is for forgiveness.
Mm.
Now, of course, when it comes to forgiveness,
yes,
there is one place that forgiveness belongs first.
I think we
know the answer to that with the self,
the
right?
Self, yeah.
So long as we are not forgiving the self, it's near impossible to experience forgiveness on the outside. So pine is for this like repetitive mental cycle of self-blame and self-reproach.
Okay.
That just it prostrates you into the cycle, really. So long as I'm continuing to blame myself and participate in self-reproach, I'm just chasing my tail.
Right.
And I have a lot of, personally, a lot of guilt, blame, and self-reproach inside of my parenting role.
Okay.
Which keeps me out of the expansion and in a contraction, right? I mean, I'm just prostrated into this contractive chasing of my tail, really. And pine can also be really appropriate for people who were raised in strict religious environments where guilt and blame are overprivileged.
Sure, over yes.
Grace. And we get taught falsely that guilt and blame is a way to, redeem ourselves or.
Right. Exactly. You know, like going to confessional.
Make a sacrifice or. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so pine is for helping to release guilt, self-reproach, blame, and to move into the expansive place of inner peace that is forgiveness, forgiving the self.
Mm. I love how you put that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, there's something that happens to my articulation when plants are on the agenda that just opens up.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So somebody comes to see you.
Yes.
What could flower essences do for them?
Oh.
Well, first of all, why don't you just walk us briefly through the process? Like, what would someone expect? Because I loved my first session with you. Not that I haven't loved the other ones, but the first one, is a little bit, there's more to it. And it's so much fun.
Yeah. Did I have you draw?
You did.
Yeah. I haven't done that as much of late. And, but what I used to do for years, I've been in practice now for 14 years with the essences specifically. And, for probably the first 13, 12 and a half, I don't know. Initial session, I would have people draw the flower that they are. If you were a flower, what would that be? And often people would say, well, I don't know how to draw. doesn't matter.
Right.
It's not what this is about.
That was like me.
I don't know what type. I'm not familiar with flowers. Doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be like a so-called quotation fingers real flower.
Right. You know?
And so then I would use that as a piece, like a, you know, almost like a talking piece, but I would also analyze their drawing fairly to see like, oh, tell me about this. Tell me about that. I notice the plant does not have any roots. I notice, you know, that it's really top heavy. Why don't you tell me about that? And kind of see how their representation of themselves artistically could relate to their life or their belief structures about themselves, life, or the world.
Yeah.
So, and then I'm kind of like, I'm a gatherer. I gather context is what I do verbally. Mm-hmm. Beyond the drawing, right? I gather context. I ask people questions about their lives, which I love. I really love listening to people share their stories. I love it.
You're such a good listener.
Ooh, thank you.
You really are.
I love it. Like, I truly love it. I used to live in Scotland twice. And, so I was in my flat, as they call it there, and the double decker, I would sometimes just lay on my bed and watch the traffic go by. And when I saw a double decker bus, like my favorite thing to think when I saw a full double decker bus, I still do this when I see apartment complexes or look into people's cars in traffic.
Okay.
And I think like with the double decker buses, I would think, imagine all the stories in that bus.
Oh my God.
Like, look at all the stories going by.
I love that.
There's so many.
Yeah.
And I want to hear every single human person's story. I do. I really do.
Yep.
So I gather stories and I draw all the context. And then I'm like an interpreter. I'm like the liaison between the plant spirit world and the human world. And I'm the interpreter and I exist between the two.
Okay.
And so the person is telling me their story and I'm gathering context. I'm listening for the emotional patterns and the wounds and the desires and the passions. I'm listening for all that. And at the same time, on the other end, the flowers are communicating to me. Sometimes in such a way that I'm getting communication from plants I've never worked with before. This happens.
Oh, wow.
Because I there's still more out there that I'm not yet
how
actively and wholly working with.
How do you receive it?
That's a good question. Sometimes it's hard to put into words.
Okay.
Spiritual communication. It's like, it's intuitive. It's like an inkling. It's like,
so it's more of a knowing.
Yeah. It's like a,
well, you know,
it happened earlier today.
Yeah.
It happened earlier today. Okay. This is cool. Cause it's fresh.
Okay.
All right. So I'm slowly making my way into greater and deeper familiarity with my teacher's repertoire. Lori and Robert have their own repertoire that's created mostly locally. Of course, I want to work with those.
Yeah.
I'm not as familiar with those as I am with the British and the Californian remedies I work with that I was originally taught with. So I'm working my way through their book and their repertoire. And I'm sitting with a client's information in my lap this morning. I've got my pendulum out and I'm ready to like choose their formula.
And you're
someone I had a conversation with yesterday.
You're doing this remotely, right?
Remotely.
Which
by telephone, by Zoom call, whatever.
And you can do remote work even when we're not in the time of COVID, right?
Oh yeah.
But at this time you're doing this remotely. So you're not sitting face to face with the person.
I'm not sitting face to face. No.
Okay.
Yeah, I gathered information from them on the phone.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
And then I'm considering this person and the flowers I have in the margin. And two of them are these flowers from my teachers that I've never worked with before. And I'm only vaguely familiar with one of the descriptors and the other one. And I'm thinking, okay, like, and I start reading these notes I have about this person and their ears.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, oh, yeah. So they've got tubes in their ears, difficulty hearing. And I'm like, and this flower starts talking to me, but not with words. But it shows me a tube, like a long tube, and it tells me about something with ears and not wanting to hear.
Oh, wow.
Things. And yep. I'm like, oh, who are you? And so then I go into inquiry. When a flower comes through to me like that,
yeah,
and shows me an image or gives me a feeling, or like, it's like an assurance. It's like, I'm here and I want you to know I'm here and I'm going to give you clues. And I'm like, okay, I heard you. I don't know who you are yet, but right. I heard you and I'm here. I'm receptive to the clues. Okay. Shows me this tube, shows me something to do with ears, has me thinking about ears. And I'm like, okay. What's going on here? Okay. I'm going to look at the book. Right. Toad flax. Like, I have the book right here.
Yeah.
And it's like a sheet. That's just, this is wild, Amanda. So I open up the page.
Yep.
I'm going to do it now.
Okay.
So I can try to describe.
Okay.
And toad flax.
I've never heard of toad flax.
Toad flax.
Yeah.
Okay. It has this, I look at it and it's a whole bunch of like flowers that look somewhat tubular coming off of this stalk.
Yeah.
Tubular. That sounds like Bill and Ted's excellent.
Yes.
But anyway, so they're like kind of tube, right? And the first keywords at the top of the page, appreciation of silence.
Oh.
And the next one is attention deficit, which this person has and is being medicated for.
Wow.
And then as you read the description, it talks about filling the void and these people having difficulty with like either hearing too much, overstimulation, or a need for silence, or the need to fill silence with words, and all this stuff about hearing or not hearing. And so, I mean, there it is, right?
Wow.
It revealed itself to me.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it happens, is this,
okay.
They'll reveal themselves to me. They'll let me know first, like waving a little flag in my consciousness. I'm
okay.
Here. Okay, I hear you. I don't know who you are, but we're going to find out. We're doing this together.
Right.
Okay.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
You're like really the cool. Flower whisperer.
Yeah. Seriously. Flower whisperer. It's like, yeah, I'm the interpreter, the liaison between the two worlds.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. So someone comes to see you.
Right.
You maybe get them to draw.
Talking about that. Yeah,
they tell
yeah.
you a little bit about their lives. You
yes.
sort of dig in, you look for patterns and things.
Yeah.
And then what?
And then I make up a blend. So I'm communicating with the person and the flowers at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I write down flowers in the margin as they're talking. And then I use a pendulum, which, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if listeners know what that is, but it's a pendulum is like something that has a heavy end attached to like a chain or string or a cord. And then it moves. If you hold it between your fingers, the bottom heavy part, gemstone or whatever, will move. And it's like an extension of the self, really. It's a connection to great spirit, and or which can be synonymous to intuition in my belief.
Right.
And so I connect, I ask for help. I pick up the pendulum. The first thing I do is I inwardly invoke and pray. So I
okay.
say, if I'm doing it for you, I say to the God of Amanda's understanding, and then I address collective consciousness, great
yep.
spirit, divine goddess network, and I do all these invocations. And then I ask any spirits, guides, helpers, souls, spirits, angels, friends, teachers, helpers, blah, 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 anyone that's here for Amanda, please enter into the spaces here and move this pendulum in her highest and best good and the highest best good of the world around her at this time. Thank you.
Mm.
I do all that inside
yep.
quietly.
Yep.
And then I test each essence. I say, is toad flax the right flower essence for Amanda at this time? And then the pendulum for me moves.
Right.
In a clockwise circle
okay.
for a hell yes.
yes.
back and forth for a basic yes.
Okay.
And a counterclockwise circle for a no.
Okay.
And then I just allow it to move in your highest and best good in connection to the spirits and guides that are there for you. And I choose a blend of anywhere from 2 to 5 flowers, rarely 6, but sometimes. And then on the spot, I'll make the blend.
Right.
With all of the many flower essences I have on hand.
And then you make this beautiful label.
Yes.
And you get us to choose colors.
I do.
Which is my favorite part.
Keyword.
I have to say, well, it's not my favorite part, but it really made me excited. First time I came to see you, and like every subsequent one, when you have this container full of pencil crayons.
Yeah.
And it's just all the colors. And
yeah.
I get so excited.
I know,
it's like
fun.
My inner child is like, oh my God,
I get pencil crayons and they're all the colors and I get to pick my own colors. And yeah. And then you make totally. This beautiful looking label.
Yeah, I know. I love that part too. And, you know, it was important to me to have, like, I believe in art therapy. Mm-hmm. I think art is therapeutic. And when we do things like coloring or creation of art and we work with colors and we get to draw and whatever, it does touch the inner child. It does.
Yeah.
And we want the inner child at the session because ultimately that's who we're all seeking to heal anyways. Mm,
yes.
Healing is a return to self.
Right.
And we're coming into communion with our inner child.
Yeah.
So yeah, we want the inner child to come out and play.
That's cool. What could somebody expect potentially from taking flower essences?
You know, when I work with people and when they're going away after I give them their bottle and when I'm explaining what they are and how they work, which actually I've done that. I've created a video for that now because it's got a little bit redundant over the years, shall we say.
Yeah.
But I do like to let people know, listen, it's really hard for me to tell you what to expect because every cycle is different. Every person is different. Everybody's on a kind of a different kind of a journey. We're all on the same journey, but it's very different at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's hard for me to tell you what to expect. I also have wanted to be careful about telling people what to expect so as to create any kind of self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
But really, to give a bit of a sense or an overview, flower essences work in these moments, these beautiful moments that are like openings of the consciousness.
Okay.
So I had one last week with Love Lies Bleeding flower I was taking. And it's like this opening. It's like a fucking chasm just opens in your own consciousness and you can see something. Something maybe that you've been looking at for your entire life.
Right.
Totally differently. One way I used to explain it to people was like, okay, here's another really good example. Yesterday was my birthday and a friend dropped.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. A friend dropped by a gift for me. And she'd been listening to me in the past, which is kind of one of the best gifts you can get. Someone's like acknowledges something you've said from the past and remembers it.
Yes.
She gave me a pair of reading glasses. So it's kind of funny, but it's also right because I had said like, oh yeah, sometimes now these days, like I just turned 42 yesterday. I'm like, sometimes these days I have to like, if something's really small print, I have to put it really far away from my face,
right?
Which feels and seems counterintuitive. You would think you'd have to put it really close up. And she was like, oh yeah, we talked about that one time on the phone. So she gives me this pair of, and I'm telling you, the flower essences, when you have an opening, it's like if you were, so I put these freaking things on, right?
Oh.
And she had also given me a bag of like mixed nuts and dried cranberries with dark chocolate pieces, whatever.
Yep.
And I turn the bag over and she's like, check out that fine print. She says to me, we're like sitting like 10 feet apart in chairs in my backyard as we're doing this, right? Yeah. Pandemic style.
Yes.
And I put the reading glasses on. I turn the bag around. She's like, check out that fine print. Well, of course, I've never been able to see it that way before.
Right.
It's new.
Yes.
So it's like that. It's like if you needed glasses.
Right.
And you're struggling to read the fine print. And then one day you just put on a different lens,
right?
And you peer into your consciousness,
yeah,
and you see things totally differently.
Oh, I love that. That's
how can
so
it
good.
Not change your life?
Totally, yeah.
You can't unsee that. So now I have the knowledge that if I put the reading glasses on, I can read the fine print. That knowledge isn't going anywhere,
right?
Now I know I always have that resource. It's the same with flower essences. Now, you know, like with the opening with my son, the opening of my heart center, yes. I go, oh, I have unconditional love in me.
Right.
That is a resource I have.
Mm.
Now I can't say I don't know how to be unconditionally loving. I mean, we all know how to anyways, but once you step into that and you have that broadening of perspective and consciousness, you can't give that shit back. It's like now I know I can't ever unknow that.
Right.
I can always refer back to the medicine and power of holly for as long as I live.
It's a reminder.
Yeah. Well, it draws parts of ourselves that are already there to the forefront. That's what it's doing. Flower essence is not giving you anything that you don't already have. It's accentuating our true and sincere spirit. It's accentuating who we really are in this return to self. It's bringing the qualities of our pure selves to the forefront.
Okay.
So what can people expect? They can, that's how they work. They often work in ways where in a moment, it's just like it will wash over you, this different perspective, this different way of seeing something that you've been looking at for the past 40 years, but all of a sudden you see it totally differently.
Right.
And the other thing that's true about how they work is that flower essences, in that they're spirit medicines, of course, they conspire with the universe. Mm-hmm. So if a person is working on, let's say, I don't know, public speaking, like there's actually flowers for freeing up the throat chakra. And anyway, chances are during that cycle, now, not only have you verbalized that that's what you're working on, but now you're taking medicines that work in cahoots with universe.
Right.
Right. That have come through an intuitive and spiritual process.
Yeah.
Now you're going to get asked to do some speaking gigs like that. Just like that's how it's going to go. So I'll talk with clients at the halfway point and they'll be like, oh, this happened and that happened. And I go, whoa, oh, wow. That is so large that happened. You know, let me help you to put these pieces together. You told me this. You're trying to open up your throat. You're trying to speak more clearly. Do you see how you being asked to do that speaking gig is part of the conspiracy of the conspiracy sounds like a horrible word right now, of how the universe is conspiring with the flowers from which they came. The flowers came from the universe.
Right. Yep.
And now you are conspiring with the universe and the flowers and your spirit for this occurrence. Yep. That it's not random.
Yeah.
So that's another way that they work.
That's cool.
And it's not always comfortable. Let's be honest.
I have one last thing I'd like to talk to you about.
Sure.
So since we are in the whole COVID situation here, and not to dwell on it, if you could sort of cast a vision to the future when we're beyond all of this.
Yeah.
Of either things that are going on now that you would like to see us as a society take with us into the future, or changes that you'd like to see come about sort of occurring from this whole situation. What kind of picture, what do you see?
Okay. Here's my projection. I think that when we're in our day-to-day lives, we have, I can speak to North America. I think that this is pretty common in many countries, but I'll speak to North America.
Okay.
We have a false notion about worth coming from productivity. Mm. And productivity, our version of productivity, is often irrational. And we are so busy and moving and talking and making noises and moving and busy and moving and blah, 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 that we are often challenged to come into the quiet and to hear ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the great gifts of COVID-19 is that, and this isn't for everyone because there are many people still working during this time.
Yes.
Right. And some are working from home where it gets to be quieter and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so lots of things are going to be rushing up into the consciousness. And once the noise of all the things that are rushing up flare into the consciousness, with enough tools and resources, we can process the things that are flaring up and then we can hear our inner voice. I know that's happening for me. I hope it's happening for many. And I would like to see there be some permanence to that. I would like there be some shifting of priorities on a cultural and societal level, which of course has to start on an individual level, I hope that we can remain in some sense of prioritization around hearing our true values and our true inner voice, like being quiet, listening to ourselves, and bringing who we really are to our expressions in the world. Because I think we get caught up, it's kind of like being caught up in a current or getting swept up by a tidal wave. You know, that's kind of how we live otherwise in day to days. Like we're in the current of you are worth more if you make more money and if you are busy all the time and you're always accomplishing things such that it's so irrational, there's no time for anything else. And, you know, run around like a chicken with your head cut off. And we get caught in that current, and the current is strong. And now that the current has slowed a bit, mm-hmm. or a lot, really.
Yeah.
I hope that we can recognize the current moving forward and not necessarily dive into it or slip into it or get into it and then never get out again.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I hope there can be some permanence to a slowing down-ness.
Yeah, that would be really nice, wouldn't it?
So we can hear ourselves. Like you can't hear the subtle, quiet voice when there's so much noise. You just can't.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Or at least it's harder, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say there's some people who do, but the majority of people don't.
Yeah. And even if you do, really we can be fostering that more and creating a more sustainable and favorable environment for the quiet inner voice if we also quiet the environment, right?
Yes.
That is my hope
well,
for this whole thing.
I will join you in that hope as well. Sounds lovely. And much more, it's funny, I was going to use the word productive.
Productive. Much more productive. Productivity can take on a whole different meaning.
Totally.
If that goal is achieved, like a productivity in alignment with the quiet inner voice.
Yes.
Rather than productivity in alignment with the expectations of the media and the society, right?
Yeah.
And the society being so influenced by the media.
Yeah.
More in alignment with nature and ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Nature and the earth and
Yeah.
Well, this has been fantastic, Roberta. How can people find you or connect with you?
My website is www.rawberta.com.
Okay.
You know, that website, name came to me in like a lightning bolt, kind of like a spiritual awakening when I was just about to fall asleep.
Oh, nice.
And it's supposed to mean, like, people are like, oh, does that mean you raw foodist? I'm like, no. It means that I highly value raw emotion, like being raw. Yeah, that's what that's supposed to mean.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why.
I thought it was all just, again, with like nature, you know, keeping things as it is, natural. Sure. Raw emotion. That's awesome. I love that.
Like when someone's like, oh, I'm so raw. And that, we have like some negative connotation all wrapped up in that. It's like, raw. That's awesome. It's good to be raw.
Oh, that's so fitting for you.
It's supposed to be about vulnerability is what that's supposed to be about. So anyway.
Right.
www.rawberta.com.
Okay.
My website. And you can also find me at rawberta. I think it's _HHP, which stands for Holistic Health Practitioner, on both Facebook and Instagram.
Okay, great. And then you are right now, if people were interested in having a session with you, you are doing sessions remotely. They can connect with you through your website. I'm assuming they can find your email there.
Yep.
Are you doing... Will you do sessions for people who are outside of Edmonton?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome.
So I'm doing sessions remotely through Zoom or phone call. And right now people have been picking up the bottles out of my mailbox at my residence.
Right.
If people are like, you know, if people have to be isolated for whatever reason, I'm also happy to work with people and you know, if it's in Edmonton and drop it off, if that's the case. Like, okay. I really want people to have the medicines during this time of quiet. So for right. that reason, as of now, I've also waived my consultation fee so far during this pandemic because okay. I want the medicines to be readily accessible and affordable
right.
for people as they are in this quiet zone of opportunity.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Roberta. This has been a lovely conversation.
I've loved it.
Thank you so much for listening to the very first episode of the Serenity Now podcast. I'm really excited about the episodes that we have coming up and the topics that we're going to cover. A little bit of meditation, some light language, and even some yoga for you. So please be sure to subscribe so that you know when the next episode is out. And stop by serenitynow.ca. for a bonus chat with Roberta and I, where we delve a little bit more into flower essences. And until next time, let your jaw relax, let your shoulders move away from your ears, take a deep breath in and a relaxing breath out, and find your serenity now.